prison, locked up in chains. Sin held me captive to sorrow and pain. Years of frustration as love passed me by, until the Master heard my heart's cry. For grace, marvelous grace, I needed grace to pardon and make me whole. Grace, marvelous grace, flows from above with infinite love, marvelous grace.
I was downhearted, broken inside, praying for mercy with nowhere to hide. There was a soulless searching.
Thank you. We're going to stay in the Gospel of Luke tonight. So we were there in chapter 23 this morning. Find 18 tonight, chapter 18. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm not going to have you stand again for sake of time and get into the message here. And following along, I'm going to use verses 1 through 8 as my text tonight. And look with me at verse number 1, chapter 18. Where Jesus, the Bible says, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then all the way down to verse number 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. And I want to speak tonight on the persevering prayer. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the privilege to enjoy tonight the visual pictures, names, sounds of your work going on in the land of China. And I pray that you'll bless this family as they seek your will about their future ministry. Bless those believers, Father, who are there still and trying to be honorable to you and faithful to you under severe pressure from their government. Give them grace, Lord. Help them. Help me tonight as I speak for a little bit out of this chapter. Give us, I pray, a listening ear, an attentive heart, and help us to be challenged in this area. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. When special events are put on our calendars, even though they may be months or even a year or two in the future, they create a certain excitement of anticipation. For instance, last June, May, June, we enjoyed a wonderful celebration to commemorate our church's 50th anniversary. And I can remember starting to formulate ideas and plans for that event as far back as 2018. And started thinking about it and, you know, knowing it was going to take place. And then as the event drew closer and nearer in time, the anticipation and the preparation began to pick up speed. Such was the case. At the end of 2018, we began to meet as a group and try to nail down specific parts of the celebration. And people had to be notified, and special guests had to be contacted and invited, and transportation worked out, and itineraries, and music, and the menus, and decorations. And we lived as we got closer to the end of May, 1st of June. There was a growing anticipation almost daily. And then the event was there, and we enjoyed it thoroughly as it came into fruition. Now, the same is true about other events that we put on our calendar for special occasions, whether they be marriage anniversaries, family getaways, reunions, whatever. We live with a hopeful anticipation for the arrival of the event. Have you ever noticed that when you have something special planned, it seems like it will never get there, and then once it gets there, it's over in a wink of an eye? That's how those type events are. Now, in Luke 18, we read a parable that Jesus gave, a parable that taught a lesson on praying. Verse number 1 gives us the purpose of the parable. Look at what it says. He spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose. This is the reason for the parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So that's the purpose of the parable as stated by the Word of God. And then beginning in verse number 2 and through verse number 5, we have the content of that parable. For sake of time, let me just kind of talk you through it. I think you're probably familiar with it. We have a judge in this story. The Bible says this judge does not fear God, nor does this judge have any regard for man. Sounds like he must have lived in Chicago, okay? I would imagine that's where he lived. And so that's the kind of judge he is. He has no fear of God and no concern at all for man. It's all about him. There's also a widow in that same city. And the Bible says in this story that she had an adversary. She had an antagonist. She had an attacker. She had an enemy. She had a foe. And being a widow, there was no husband to come to her aid. We don't read of her having any son, at least living in this city with her. No son-in-law to help. And so she goes to this judge. And she says, maybe I can get the judge to help me. And when she went to the judge, he lived up to his reputation. The Bible says he paid her no attention. He did not regard her request. Didn't give any ear to it. But she would not let it go. She saw him at the market. And when she saw him at the market, she said, please avenge me of mine adversary. He would disregard her. She saw him at the bank. And when she saw him at the bank, she said, please avenge me of mine adversary. And he paid her no attention. She saw her at Walmart. I'm sure there was a Walmart in the city, amen. And when she saw him at Walmart, she said, would you please avenge me of mine adversary? Avenge me of my adversary. And after a while, this judge had enough. He absolutely had enough. Look what he said in verse number 4. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, he's talking to himself now, okay? So it's a very, very fragile conversation, all right? Though I fear not God, nor regard man. So I have no fear of God, and I don't regard her or any other man. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. So he said, you know what? I'm getting a little bit weary of this widow. Everywhere I see her, she's asking for me to avenge her. And I don't care about God. I don't care about her. But she will not leave me alone. And so because she's driving me close to crazy, I'm going to give her what she's asked for. I'm going to avenge her of her adversary. Now, that's the story. That's the story that Jesus told. Now, what can we learn from this parable? Well, we certainly can learn persistence in the matter of prayer. That's what he said at the very beginning of the story, okay? This widow just would not give up in asking for what she needed. Now, we don't read of her getting ugly with the judge. You don't read of her being angry at the judge. You don't read of her making an unpleasant scene in public. What we read about is she consistently went to the judge over and over and over and over and said, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Now, people, there is certainly a problem with prayers that are what the Bible calls vain repetition. Just saying the same words over and over again as you go through this mindless ritual of some words that are supposed to get the attention of God. Empty repetition, chanting and repeating the same words in some kind of mindless monotone babble. But there is a difference in what I just was talking about and staying faithful in asking God for help with something. That is not vain repetition. It is not vain repetition for God's people to go to Him over and over and over and over without a bad attitude, without any kind of ugliness in the heart, and just say, "God, please, I need You to help me with it." Now, I pointed out before in messages on the subject of prayer that unless God changes your heart about your request, don't give up on your prayer too soon. Okay? God will let you know if you're asking for something amiss. He'll let you know if you're asking something against His will. He'll let you know if you're asking for something out of place concerning His providential plan for your life. We have examples in Scripture. Paul, probably the most well-known example. "Father, please take this thorn away." That's one time. "Father, please take this thorn away. Father, please, I beseech You." He said, "I besought the Lord." He didn't just say, "It would be nice if You take this thorn away." He besought the Lord. And finally, God said to him, "Paul, I'm not taking the thorn away. You need it because it creates a weakness in your heart and your mind and a humility. And when you are weak, then I can be strong." And you know what Paul's request was? "Oh, God, give me the thorn. I'll glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Give me that thorn." God changed his prayer. Changed his prayer. Now, Moses is another example. Remember Moses, you know, he lost his temper there, smote the rock twice when God said to speak to it. And God was displeased with Moses, said, "You had a problem with your temper and your anger. It's uncontrolled. I told you to speak to the rock. You smote it twice. It's a picture of my son. You've already smitten it once back in Rephidim, I think it was. And I gave water out of the rock. Now you hit the rock twice. This is not going to work. You are not going into the promised land." And in Deuteronomy, Moses said that he went to the Lord and he said, "Lord, please let me go over and see it." And God said to Moses, "Speak no more unto me of this matter." So it was very clear from God, "Moses, don't talk to me about this again. It's a closed case. I'm not going to answer that prayer." Now, people, unless God changes our heart about what we're asking Him for, or unless He just says to us through His Spirit, through His Word, "Don't ask me any more about this," we should not give up too soon on our prayers. So if you need God's help concerning a matter that is just and right, and God doesn't change your heart, and God doesn't say stop, just keep on praying. About that thing, Lester Orloff used to sing it, "Just keep on praying till light breaks through. God keeps His promise, He'll answer you." And I forget the rest of the words, but it's a really good song, okay? And so Roloff used to sing that. So just be faithful. You say, "Brother Angel, I've never had that kind of answer to prayer where I prayed for a month or 6 months or 2 years, and I saw God answer." Are you sure? Did you pray for your children to grow up and be saved? Do you pray fervently for that every day? For 5 or 6 years, are your children saved? God must have answered your prayer. You prayed for your children to grow up and honor the Lord with their life, and that they'd find the right mate, and so forth and so on. And you prayed, "Oh, Father, help my child to marry right. Is your child married right?" God answered. Folks, sometimes we overlook the obvious. And then there are times when we have to pray for material needs. There's times we pray for people to be saved, others, relatives and so forth. God, heal this problem in my family. And sometimes it's not going to happen with a six-word prayer one time and we're done. Once in a while it's like that. Once in a while God gives the answer immediately. Okay? But sometimes it takes persevering in prayer. And so that is an application lesson that we can take from this passage. Now, I want you to look at what he said that far. I want you to look at verse number 6. I want you to, and the Lord said. So Jesus drew the people's attention to what the judge said. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. So Christ really didn't draw the people's attention to what the widow was saying. Now, there's a lesson to learn from that. But Christ drew their attention to what the judge said. What did the judge say? Well, the judge said over and over again, I do not fear God. I do not care for man or woman, have no regard for them. But because she won't let me rest, and she continually asks me, before she drives me crazy, I will avenge her of her adversary. He is an unjust judge. He has no fear of God, no regard for people. He's only concerned about himself. He paid no attention to the details of her plea. Was her plea even legitimate? He didn't care. Should he hear the other side of the story before he avenged her of her adversary? He didn't care. He is a selfish, dour, uncaring, godless judge. But you know what he did? He avenged the widow. He avenged the widow. And so Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge saith. Then Jesus gives the explanation. Look at verse number 7. And shall not God, the just, holy, righteous, pure, infinite, immortal God of all the universe, won't God judge or avenge His own people? Goes on to say, His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them. The righteous, holy, true, just God will avenge His own people, those who cry day and night and never let it rest. Even though it seems like He's not listening, they pray and they beg and they pray. And God said, He, the true judge of all the earth, the honest and pure judge, will avenge His own people. Now, wait a minute. What are God's people asking Him for? What are they asking Him for in this parable? Well, look at the word that is used in the verses over and over again. In verse 3, you find, verse number 3, you find the word avenge. In verse number 5, you find the word avenge. In verse number 7, you find the word avenge. In verse number 8, you find the word avenge. Avenge means achievement of justice. God, please bring justice to this situation. Now stick with me. I'm going somewhere. God, please bring justice. The widow was being taken advantage of. She was being preyed on by the predators, who would take everything from her if possible. And possibly they had already wronged her. And people, do you understand that there are all kinds of scams taking place today that are attempting to take advantage of older people? Scare tactics and fear mongering. And they give them these robot phone calls. You know, you're in trouble with the Social Security and you're about to be arrested if you don't call this phone number. And I remember my father-in-law's wife, Marilyn, when her brother Larry was alive, and his wife, Pat, they lived out here in Roma Park, and they got scammed by somebody who called them and said, your grandson, and called his name. Your grandson's in jail in such a distant state out west, and he needs bail money, and he's trying to raise the money to get out of jail. He asked me to call you, and they lost several $1,000s in that scam. So here you got a widow, this back in Jesus' day, here you got a widow, she's got an adversary, she's got an enemy, she's got a foe, she's got a predator who's preying on her and possibly has already wronged her, and she asked him, avenge, please bring justice in this situation. Please bring justice in this situation. She was asking for legal protection from the judge. Avenge me. Put him to rest. Put him in prison. Avenge me of those who are preying on me. And God said, for his own people who pray day and night for an end to all of the wrongs being perpetrated on them by their adversaries, Jesus said that God, the righteous judge, will avenge his own. He will bring justice to his own. That may not come exactly when they want it, but it will come. And look at verse number 8. I'm going somewhere to wrap it up in just a little bit, so stay with me. Verse number 8, look at the words here. Look at the first three words Jesus said. I tell you. Can we take this to the bank? You take this to the bank. Came out of the mouth of Christ, okay? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Even though, like the unjust judge, avenging doesn't come when God's people first ask for it. Achievement of justice will come. And when it comes, it's going to happen quick. It's going to happen speedily. It's going to happen with haste. Okay, that's wonderful. But can you give us any idea when this achievement of justice is going to happen? Look at the rest of the verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man cometh. Got it. That's when the achievement of justice happens. When Jesus comes back to the earth to set up his kingdom, he will avenge his people. There will be an achievement of justice. He will put an end to all the predators. He will put an end to those who abuse and violate his people. You know why? Because they are his. And he'll put an end to it. I don't have time tonight to recall all the different times in history when the adversaries of God took advantage of God's people. And primarily, folks, you know who I think this is talking about? I think, look at verse number 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Now, you know who that's primarily talking about? Israel. The Jews. There has never been a people so treated with disdain and just cruel. Why? Why, and you can't deny, if you pay attention to the news whatsoever, you can't deny that there is a rise in anti-Semitism in this country right now. And our government should hammer it. They should put an end to it. And you know why they're being persecuted? You know why they're breaking in to the Hasidic Jews' Shabbat and stabbing them? Because they're Jews. That's the only reason. They're God's people. I received two emails this week from Brother Sharp in the Gentile ministry and pictures. I should show you the picture sometime. Here is balloons, these bright balloons, big old bright balloons, and the string is tied to a beautifully wrapped package. And those things are launched from Gaza into Israel. And they're landing in the fields over there, and the little Israelite children hear these beautiful balloons and this carefully, beautifully wrapped Christmas package or birthday package, but there's an explosive device in it. That's hateful. They launch kites that have fire that set the Jews' fields afire. Another email that came from the Gentile ministry showed the farmers in a field, and they're close to Gaza. And the rocket, their phone shows, on their phone, it shows a rocket alert. And when that phone goes off with a rocket alert, they have 5 to 10 seconds, depending on how far they are, from the rocket to find shelter. So their phones go off with this rocket alert, and these farmers are finding shelter under a farm wagon. And then across the field over here, all of a sudden you see these missiles being launched by Israel's Iron Dome. There had to be 7 or 8 of them launched in the air, part of the Patriot missile system that Dan Quayle, vice president to Reagan, gave to Israel. And they've taken it and improved it because they're God's people. And you could hear those rockets taking off, and you could hear the thud, thud, thud in the sky as they crashed head on into the rockets that the Arabs launched, the Hezbollah and that crowd from over there in Gaza. And folks, those people live with that day after day after day. They have to have shelters by their schools for their little children to run to when they have the rocket alerts. Where's the outcry? Where's the outcry from the world? Let one Israelite, let one Jew launch a gift-wrapped package that has an explosive device into Arab territory and watch the United Nations go nuts. You say it's a travesty of justice. Absolutely. But guess what? One of these days, he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to put an end to all that mess. There'll be an achievement of justice. But listen, it's true about, I think, primarily about Israel, but every passage has one interpretation, has many applications. It can also be applied to God's people. Jew and Gentile alike. Gentile Christians have been martyred. Gentile believers have been attacked. Why do you have to meet in a house church? Why? And that's not true just in that one country. That's true in countries all over our globe. And the rights of Christian people have been violated. And listen, even here, you know, in our own country, you can go to the public school and talk all you want about Allah, but don't you mention the name of Jesus Christ. Don't mention it. That's an injustice. It's wrong. And here they're forced to sit and be fed all this garbage about the lesbian, gay, the alphabet thing. And, you know, you let one Christian young person say, I don't want to be a part of that. Or his dad say, my kid's not a part of that. And chaos breaks loose. You think the world has come to an end. You know, why isn't the world coming to an end that they're teaching that kind of nonsense in the first place? It's an injustice, and I'm telling you that one of these days, God will put an end to all of this. You say, when is that, Pastor? At the rapture? No, not the rapture. That's not when Jesus comes to the earth. In Revelation, don't have time to turn you there, write this down, Revelation 6, 9, and 10, you will find people around the throne in heaven. Guess what they're praying? When will you avenge us? When will you avenge the innocent blood that's been shed? During the tribulation period, they're still praying for the achievement of justice, still crying for the judge of all the earth to avenge them of their adversary. The avenging will take place when the Son of Man comes to the earth. And when that happens, it'll be done quickly. It won't be done with a bomb, a grenade, a nuclear explosive device. It'll be with the word of his mouth. I don't know what he's going to say. But brother, it'll be done, and done quick. Jesus, and then he finishes with this, okay? And this is where I wanted to go, and I'm almost done. So it's not like I preached for 30 minutes here, and then now I'm just getting to the first point. I know, okay? So it would drive you nuts. But I want you to notice, look at what he says in verse number 8. Nevertheless. Okay, you're going to be avenged. God's going to avenge his elect. Okay? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus comes to the earth to avenge his own, shall he find faith on the earth? In other words, will there be any... You say, was that talking about salvation? Not talking about salvation. Will there be any of his people, this is where it comes right down to us, anticipating his return? Will there be any of his people longing for, looking for his return? Will there be any of his people saying, Lord, come quickly? Folks, when you tie verse number 1, to this end, he spoke this parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. When you tie it to verse number 8, Jesus told a parable about persistence in prayer, and the primary lesson in persistent praying is don't give up praying for him to return. Now, when's the last time you and I prayed that? It's amazing. Tonight, we sang, had two songs, the choir song, and then we had the fellowship song that we're all about when Jesus comes. Oh, I want to see Him, want to see His face. And we say amen. And I enjoyed the song, and I like that kind of music. But when's the last time I prayed, oh, Lord, would You please come? Would You please come? Look, the model prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. What's the first request? What's the first request? My King, please come. Please come set up Your kingdom. Avenge all this injustice. Achieve justice on earth. Not just for my sake, but Lord, for Your honor. For Your glory. We're not looking for the kingdom, people. We're looking for the rapture. Do you remember what John said as he closed out the book? What did he say? Lord, help us to win a lot of souls. Nothing wrong with that. Lord, help us to preach the gospel everywhere. Help us to stay true to the truth. Nothing wrong with that. How did he close out the book, folks? Even so, come. Lord Jesus, are You coming today? Are You coming today? Look, here's the lesson, folks. God's people should have this event on their calendar. And we should be anticipating it all the time. Here's the trouble. We get so ensconced in everything here. We forget to even talk to Him about, would You please come? And I know, you know, we got 6 weddings this year. And everybody's thinking, oh, no. I want Jesus to come. But ladies, can I put you to rest here? If Jesus comes before your wedding, you probably won't give one thought to that in heaven. Oh, wow. Lord, can we postpone this just for a little bit? So you're not going to think one thought. What on this earth can compare to what we're going to enjoy up there? We're not looking for a kingdom, but we are looking for the rapture. And people, they're really tied together. The rapture is the first phase of His coming. The revelation is the second phase of His coming. You and I can literally pray as Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come. Because that means 7 years prior to that, we're out of here. Because Stephen Anderson can stay to the mid-trib. Well, I'm not staying that long. I can't. I'm going out before that. Now listen. Listen. By the way, let me give you a thought here, okay? Avenge means achievement of justice. You know what revenge means? Retaliation. They're not asking for revenge. God, please come and destroy all this crowd. Send them all to hell. That's not what they're saying. That's not, I hate it. Here's a man and his wife. They have a beautiful daughter. The daughter is brutally murdered. The suspect is yet to be apprehended. The parents are devastated. The news cameras come around and the reporter sticks a microphone in the dad's face and says, what would you like? What are you hoping for and praying for? He said, I am praying for justice. I want the perpetrator apprehended, and I want him prosecuted, and I want him punished according to the law. That's an achievement of what? Justice. But the daughter also has a boyfriend. And he takes a gun, and he finds the perpetrator and kills him. What's that called? Revenge. So we don't live in this life with a revengeful attitude. Yes, I disdain the launching of a balloon with an explosive gift-wrapped package to little Israeli children. But folks, I cannot hate those who launched the balloon. That's revenge. I think God's going to take care of it. Believe you me, he'll do a lot better job than you or I could. The achievement of justice. Look, what am I saying tonight, church? We don't want revenge. We want to be avenged. We want justice. We want God's justice to rule. We want God's righteousness to reign. We want God's knowledge to cover the earth. Amen, church? That's what we want. When's the last time we asked Him to come set it up? You know, the honest truth of the matter is, it's hard to anticipate something without asking for it. Well, I'm looking forward to Jesus coming. I can't wait till He comes. When's the last time you prayed? Asked Him to come. You ever make the mistake of telling your kids on Monday, we're going to the zoo on Friday? You learn real quick as young parents not to do that. That's a mistake. Probably right now, tonight, you're going to get home and the kids are going to ask you, when's the church going to the zoo? Amen. That's all they heard. Zoo, Friday. I don't think they've heard the whole message. When are we going to the zoo, Dad? So on Tuesday, it's what? It's today, Friday. No, it's 3 days. Wednesday is today, and when Friday comes, are we there yet? What are they doing? They're anticipating the planned event. Child of God, there is a planned event on our calendar. We can't mark the year. We can't mark the month. We can't mark the day. But the Son of Man is coming to the earth. And if you and I have any concern about His justice and His knowledge and His righteousness reigning over this earth, you know what Jesus is saying there? Don't give up asking Me to come. You just keep asking. And keep asking, and keep asking, and keep asking, and keep asking. And when the Father says it's time, I'll be there. It'll be done speedily. That's really what I believe this parable is all about. He taught men always to pray and not to faint. When you just keep asking, asking, and it puts it in the forefront of your mind, and asking Him to come reminds us that we're not living in this world permanently. We're headed to a heavenly place. And this world is not my home, and I don't want to get too entrenched in things here because this is all temporary and that's all eternal, and I can't wait for Him to come. I wonder if Jesus sits in heaven and sometimes turns to the Father and says, does anybody want Me to come? Is there anybody that wants Me to come? When I come, will I find that kind of faith on the earth, persevering prayer, not feigning, avenge us, Lord, not for our sake, but for Yours. Come set up that great kingdom. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your book. Oh, God, put it upon our hearts tonight as a church. As an individual, Lord, may we not lose sight of the promise of the coming of Christ. May we anticipate it as much as we would anticipate, Lord, a birthday celebration. More so. Anticipate it more than we would anticipate an anniversary celebration. May we anticipate Your coming, O Lord Jesus. May it be on the forefront of our minds. May we live tomorrow thinking, at least some part of the day, is this the day that Jesus will come? Lord, please come today. And then again on Tuesday. And Lord, You didn't come yesterday. Would You please come today? I want You to come. I want You to achieve justice. God, put it on our hearts. I think that, Lord, that will help us stay on the forefront and live right and be conscious of others around us. So, Father, please help us tonight to be persevering in this matter of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Please come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you ready for His coming? Are you saved? Do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If you can't answer yes to that question, why don't you come and get it settled tonight? Did the Father, the Lord, and believers' baptism, did God speak to your heart tonight? How long has it been since you prayed? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Invitation song begins, and as they begin to play the invitation, you use the altar.
Way, Lord, have Thine own way.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I don't want to get so wrapped up in the events and the happenings of this world that I forget about the fact that You're coming.
Mold me and make me after Thy will.
Maybe at breakfast tomorrow morning, you thank the Lord Jesus for the food and ask Him to give you a good day. And at the close of the prayer, you're reminded to pray, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I've been convicted about this recently. Maybe tomorrow night at supper, Father, thank you for the food. Bless it to our bodies. And Lord, it'd be a wonderful thing if you'd come tonight. Even so, come, Jesus.
Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine.
Yes, it is.
Touch me and
help me,
heal me.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Scott. Be seated if you would, please. Fellas, come and bring the booklet. We're happy to give one to every household, including anyone visiting with us tonight. So one per household, and then we'll get them out next Sunday morning. After that, if there are still copies that remain, we'll give them to the older young adults in the household, and they can have their own copy. And I hope that you'll find some time to read this great book the next month of February, The Life Ministry of John Payton, over in the South Hebrides Islands. All right.